and good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard Still coming to you live tonight, this August 16th, 2018, live from a beautiful radio ranch. I hate to boast, I hate to brag, but boy, we've had some good weather lately. Thank you, Lord. Just enough rain to put off maybe finishing up the hay for a day or so, but I think we got it wrapped up pretty much today. Just mild temperatures, cool breeze, nothing like the heat in the southwest or the fires in the way out west or the storms in the northeast. So thank you, Lord, for this good weather. We thank you for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And the program is 7x70. I'm Ranch Wrangler Richard, coming to you live from the radio ranch. And we'll have the phone lines open tonight. Haven't had a chance to get to the phone lines the last few weeks, but hey, we'll get to them tonight. If you have a comment or a question you'd like to call in, I've got several current events I'd like to cover, and a couple of scriptures that came to mind today I think it would be good for us to look at and apply, for us to be aware of what's going on and aware of those that are for us out there, but also those that are against us. Well, let's start off with a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, for this opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for the time that you give us, Lord, to have fellowship with one another. We may not speak to one another, Lord, but we are fellowshipping with one another and having fellowship with you. And I thank you for that time, for this time, Lord, to come out of our busy day. And thank you for the remnant that takes time out of their busy day, Lord, to maybe stop and take a breather, take a breath, and listen to your word being spoken, Lord, and to fellowship with me and with the rest of the remnant that tunes in, Lord, and fellowship with you as well. And I thank you for that. I thank you for this time that Lord, we can do that. That there's times, Lord, that we just have to be still and wait upon the Lord. Let this be a time for that, Father, for each and every one of us that seek your will in your face. And Lord, we do that. Father, the heathen's rage, the wars and rumors of wars, Lord, we live in that time still. There is crime and lawlessness abounds. But Father, we know that you are still on the throne and that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that Satan is still defeated, and that you are still the way and the truth and the light. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for calling your people, for opening the eyes of the remnant, Father, to who you are and who they are and what you expect of us, what you expect of them. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, that worked tirelessly, that went for years and years, Lord, building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock, the solid rock, the solid foundation, but working tirelessly to build this ministry, Lord. Help us to continue to build upon it, Lord, to continue to glorify you and to spread the truth of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to fulfill the Great Commission as much as we can, Lord, to the extent that you put it upon us, to your remnant, to your people, Lord, to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of those that don't hear, and Lord, to give understanding, to give that peace and the healing that comes from you. Father, we desire to share your word with your people, to glorify you, to edify you, to encourage your people to love and good deeds. And so, Father, I ask for tonight's broadcast and everything that this ministry does to do that very thing, to glorify you and to encourage your people, to let them know, to remind them of that good news. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And amen. So, yes, we'll have the phone lines open tonight. 307-745-5913. Let me get the button pushed there. So we'll have the phone lines open. Don't get to them all the time, but hey, we've got them tonight. And so one quick verse out of today's Bible reading. It's Proverbs 26 and 27 is the Old Testament part. And then wrapping up Revelations this month, and then starting back in Matthew again before the end of the month. an opportunity, if you missed it the first time, the Bible reading plan that we have this year gives you an opportunity to read at least the New Testament again this year. Here it is, middle of August, only have a few more months. We're, two-thirds into 2018 calendar year. So I encourage you, yay, I challenge you. If you haven't read, well, even if you have, I'll just challenge you this. Read your Bible. We have the Bible reading plan. We've sent hundreds, thousands out. Still print and send them out for new people that come upon the ministry. Sent a couple new ones out just this past week. And so, if you would like this tool, it's available at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. We can print you one and send you one out here. Heck, I think I can even send it to you on the phone. I'm not sure. I don't think I've done that yet, but I'll try. And so, we encourage you, read your Bible. If you will, then hey, next Friday, it looks like, if you start back on our plan, we'll start back in Matthew on the New Testament portion and read through. And if you'll read through the Old Testament as well while you're reading the New, you will see there'll be times that you'll read that it'll seem like the exact same thing in the Old and the New Testament. Because the Old Testament, of course, was a foreshadowing of Christ, a telling of Him coming and of what He would do and how His people would, well, some would accept Him and some wouldn't, and that's exactly what's happened when He walked on the earth, and that's exactly what happens today. Some hear, some believe, and some don't. But as the remnant, as the true followers of Jesus Christ, I speak to you and I challenge you now, read your Bible. We are to be a Bible reading people. We are to be a praying people. We are to be a faithful people. We are to be a people that practice righteousness. And to do that, we have to be a Bible reading people. We have to be a praying people. We have to pray for the eyes of God that we see things the way He sees them. Whether it's people, places, or things, activities. When we pray and ask for that discernment and that wisdom, He will give it. But we have to pray and ask for it. We have to pray. Had an answered prayer this week in front of some non-active Christians, you might say. So I'll share that with you real quick. And then I want to read this here in Proverbs, because I think that'll tie into kind of what I want to share with you tonight. So had a little meeting with men. We were discussing, without getting into too many details, we basically needed a third person on a crew, okay? And needed a third person on a crew. And so we're calling and trying. It has to do with the volunteer fire department. And we're calling, we're asking. It involved about a two-week commitment. And we'd had people say, yes, I'd go. And we're calling and had one, two, three, four of us making phone calls trying to find this last person to make up a three-person crew. And we are hitting roadblock after roadblock. This person says, no, I have to start school next week. Another person, no, I got a new job. So we're not having success at all. And we needed to get this third, it was a volunteer firefighter, to be able to go out and help on some of these fires. So I looked at one of the other volunteer fire chiefs and I said, Tom, you know, we haven't prayed about this. Why don't we pray about it? And he's a Christian. He looked at me, yes, you're right. We should pray. And he just prayed, just like he just said, Lord, send us a firefighter. And I said the same thing. Just standing up, you know, there's five or six guys around us. We were in a coffee shop in town. And I know Tom's a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure about the rest of them. And I just said that very thing. Lord, we need a firefighter. Send us a firefighter. We're trying to help your people, and we need a third person to help your people. So send us one, Lord. Amen. And nobody got up and walked off. Nobody was so offended that they threw their coffee cup down. And, you know, we hear of these things in the news, and I've got a couple of current events about that as well tonight. But that didn't happen here in Laramie. And when amen was said, we just went back to the conversations we were having. It wasn't 10 minutes later, one of the men on the phone found the firefighter. What? Yes, you can go? You're available? Okay, great. So there was our third in less than 10 minutes. And once we had that crew put together, I looked at Tom. Tom, our prayer was answered. That's right. See, he had to be reminded of it. And there in front of it, there, God and everybody, and the people that were just there in the coffee shop, thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Now, that's not in the grand scheme of things, that's not a real huge, big, earth-shattering deal. I understand it's not. It's not. But I think that we planted a seed, possibly. Who knows? We got up again today and, go at it again. But I think we planted a seed with those other people that were there that heard us, that saw we had a need, saw that we were not being very successful in filling that need, saw that we prayed to God in Jesus' name, and then saw that need filled, and then saw us praise God. We didn't have to get up and start praise music and swaying and lifting our hands and, praise. We didn't have to do that for 45 minutes. No, it was just the immediate need, the immediate prayer, pretty immediate answer, praise, thanking Him for it. And so, see, that's a testimony. We were able to give a testimony in that. And it's not that we sought out to do that, just the opportunity presented itself. And so I hope it's as encouraging to you as it was to me to be able to do that and to do that in front of these people. It's what we do. And how great it was. Now, I talked with my buddy Tom, that's a Christian as well, and we talked about it and agreed that it was a very little thing. No answered prayer is for naught, and so I don't mean to say that an answered prayer is a little thing. It's a great thing. It is more than the whole world can do combined. Just one little answered prayer from our God. But we got to talking, and if we will be faithful in the little things we read in the Scriptures, then we will get more. We will get more things to be faithful. But if we aren't faithful in the little things, then how will we get grander and bigger things put upon us and presented to us and opportunities in our life to continue to grow? And so I want to encourage you, be faithful in the little things. Pray when you get up in the morning. Pray when you go to school or go to work. I hope you pray for a safe journey. We've hit deer out here on the roads and totaled vehicles out. Hit a deer last year, or I think it was earlier this spring, hit a big old buck with the ranch truck, flatbed. Big grill guard, one-ton truck on the front, tore the living stew out of that truck. Of course, it killed the deer. And I had prayed before for a safe trip. And, we had a wreck that killed the deer, tore the truck up. How you call that a safe trip? Well, I didn't have to go to the hospital. I was still able to get down. I was going to the print shop. I was still able to get down there and print the newsletter, and then get home safely. And we've been able, Lord willing, and thank you, Lord, we've been able to fix the truck and keep it in service. And so He answers our prayers when we pray and ask. When we pray and ask. And so, and when our heart is in the right place, when we pray and ask, with our heart and our mind aligned with, it's to glorify Him. And when we glorify Him, He blesses us. He opens up the storehouses, as Malachi says, the storehouses of heaven. He is a loving Father that is desiring to reward those of His children that do good. And so, we see that in the physical. And as a dad, what would you not do for your children? Especially when they're trying to please you, when they're doing things, when they make choices that are pleasing to you? Is there anything you wouldn't do? And I say, no, there's not. At least not in my upbringing and not in my household and not in the household of the families I know. Jason last week was talking about talk in his communion, talk about his son that got his first pair of cowboy boots. And his son wanted cowboy boots because daddy's got cowboy boots. And he wanted them just like daddy's. And you know what? His daddy got him some. And so we see that in the physical. How much more? The scripture's full of it. The love of God, how he desires certainly for us to be obedient. Why? So that he can be obeyed? That's not the reason. The reason is that when we will do that, it is a blessing to us. It's a blessing to us. So I encourage you, read your Bible. Pray. We are to be, in all days, but oh man, especially now, a praying people. To be a true follower of Jesus Christ, we have to be certainly a believing people, but a praying people, a Bible reading people, a Bible application people, applying what we read and learn in our lives, and constantly changing. We need to be constantly changing. You know, if we're not growing, we're stagnant. We become lukewarm real quick if we're not growing. And we need to be growing. You know, a pond that just has water flow into it, and then that's it. It doesn't go anywhere. It just stays right there. It may have great water flowing into it, but it just becomes stagnant, and pretty soon there's no life in it. So I encourage you, be reading your Bible. Even if you read it before, read it again. Read it again. God will open up your eyes and expand your understanding in it. He'll let you read something that you'll read it one day, and the next day you'll get a phone call from a friend that you never expected that is asking you a question that you read the answer the day before. It has happened to me time and time again. And so as His remnant, as His Christian soldiers, that's part of our duty to do that very thing. To do that very thing. You know, I had the opportunity to bring a short message at church the other day. It talked about hate and love, or love and hate. And today's Bible reading, Proverbs 26, talks a little bit just about that. Proverbs 26:24 says, "He who hates disguises it with his lips." And so, see, we have to remember that those that hate us, and Jesus said they hated him without a cause, and if we follow Jesus, they'll hate us without a cause as well, and that's true. But those that hate disguise it with their lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. And so we have to remember, those that hate us don't always come out and say, "We hate you. I hate you for what you are doing." Got a news report for you, current events. Our friend that I've never met, but I know him by his fruits. Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop down in Denver. He's back in court. Colorado's taking him to court again because they're claiming he discriminated by declining to make a cake celebrating a gender transition. Says here that late June of last year, a man who identifies as a woman called and stated he wanted to place an order for a custom cake. And Jack's wife, Debbie, took the call and said, "You know, what do you want, this and that?" And said, "Oh, I need a cake, this and that, a blue exterior and a pink interior." And he very much made sure he stated that the design was a reflection that he transitioned from male to female, and he has come out as transgender on his birthday. And so, the Ms. Phillips said, "You know, this they couldn't be of assistance." Says that we don't make cakes that address the topic of sex changes or gender transitions. And this is what the baker said. We don't support a message that promotes the idea that a person's sex is anything other than an immutable, God-given biological reality. And Mr. Phillips doesn't make custom cakes for any expression that is objectionable. And so, see, this person called and said, I'm sure they sounded so sweet. "Oh, we love your cakes. We've read all about them, and I just have to have one. See, their lips were disguising the hatred that they have for this man, because he is standing up. He is standing on Christian principles, that what God says is right. He believes that it would violate God's commands if he were to create custom cakes that express messages or celebrate events in conflict with his Christian beliefs. Praise God. Heavenly Father, be with Mr. Phillips and Miss Phillips. Bless them. Lord, I call your angels. I commission your angels now to be about Masterpiece Cakes and Mr. and Miss Phillips, and to strengthen them and to provide for them and to give them peace, to give them the best sleep they've ever had. Lord, to protect, I commission your angels to be about them in their going out and their coming in, and to be about their place of business and their home and their family, with angels with your swords drawn, fighting off and fending off all the evil spirits and the evil filth and wickedness that would dare come upon these Christians, Lord. These that have not only walked the walk and talked the talk, but Lord, they live it. They live it. And they are standing on your principles. All the way to the so-called Supreme Court, news interviews, Lord, they're not glory hounds. They are your servants. And so, Lord, I do. I commission your angels to be about them, to protect them, Lord, because those that hate them come to them with lies. Let them be protected, Lord, and blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Supreme Court ruled in Mr. Phillips' favor, but that's not enough for the state of Colorado and their filthy faggots down there that just are not going to be, I like the way the article put it, said they are not going to be, says here, the state's continuing efforts to target Mr. Phillips don't just violate the Constitution, they cross the line into bad faith. This court should put a stop to Colorado's unconstitutional bullying. And that's exactly what it is. It appears that they will not stop until they have either run him out of business or caused him to violate his Christian beliefs. That's what they desire to do for him. They hate him. Why? He pays his taxes. He pays for his building. He has a business. He provides a great service. They hate him. Scripture tells us that. Those who hate disguise it. They disguise it. They don't come out. You know, that's, our word tells us Satan himself even disguises himself as an angel of light. But it's by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits. Not what they say, but what they do. And very much what they do. It truly is. Well, folks, phone lines are open tonight. 307-745-5913. I don't know if I can talk for another half hour. We put together a new packet. I want to tell you about that. It's called, and it ties in with really what we're reading here. He who hates disguises it with his lips. He lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him. There's seven abominations in his heart. And this is where we read in verse 27, he who digs a pit will fall into it. Praise God. Let them that dig a pit for your people, O Lord, let them fall into it. We know that they will, because your word says it, Lord. Let your word be applied to those, Lord, that hate Mr. Phillips. Lord, to those that hate your remnant. Lord, that hate your people when they try to do good and that which is right. And they dig a pit, Lord, for us to fall in, but we know they will fall into it. Praise God Almighty. Amen, amen. We have a new packet put together called, you know, we've had the encouragement packet and had another one last month. Not sure, I don't have my printout of that. But this month we've got the conspiracy packet. And it's three of pastor's pamphlets. I'll give you a quick rundown on them, but basically the greatest conspiracy between prophet, priest, and king, it goes unobserved and uncontested by many because Few have read and understood and applied the one book that identifies and condemns it, and that book is the Holy Bible, the inspired Word of God. And you know, that's what we're doing tonight, is, and we continue to do, to encourage you to read the Word. If you read it, if you ask for understanding, you'll get it. But you have to do those things. You have to read it. You have to take time. Start your day off with it. Truth is absolute, no matter how you slice it, no matter who believes it or not, no matter if it's politically correct or not. History shows and verifies the fact that one of the worst places to find truth is in the churches of the day. The truth will set you free, so says the Word, as you grow in different stages of your spiritual life. But first, the truth may make you angry. Modern-day theology has changed Christianity from a vibrant, driving force capable of turning the world upside down, as it once did, into a docile, do-nothing, castrated, neutralized piety known as Judeo-Christianity. How's it done this, you ask? Because most have become double-minded, believing opposites. These three pamphlets, none ever call it conspiracy, by Pastor Peters. Also, the four stages of spiritual truth that Pastor Peters put together. And a double-minded people that explains dialectical materialism. The forced combining of opposites. Black is white. White is white. And it's a spell. It's a spell. So if you're not familiar with these, I'd encourage you, order the conspiracy packet. We have them all together, all three for $5. Usually they're $2 or $3 a piece for these pamphlets. And so if you're not familiar with them, I encourage you, order them, take a look, read them. They're classics. They are foundational truths that sometimes we need to go back and get to the basics. Sometimes we need to go back and see that just how things are and why things are the way they are today. So that's the conspiracy packet. Hey, let's try the phone lines here. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Great. A little warm here yet. There's a lot of humidity, but hopefully that'll be moving out in a bit.
Awesome.
Hey, but still, no horrible weather of any sort. It's good. Anyway, you know, as far as the topic of hate, you know, something, you know, that's going on, it's so prevalent amongst believers, so-called believers, you know, it's just rampant all over the church, is if anybody, you know, if you ever watch any of those street preachers or anybody that goes out on the corners or anything, and they're talking about, you know, should not do this and that and everything, almost, you know, it'll only be a minute or two before, you know, and you'll hear it over and over and over at every one of them. You'll have somebody rush right forward and go, we're told never to judge. You can't speak against any of these sins because that's judging. And judging is hate. And we're told not to judge. You're making everybody hate. You're a hater. You're evil. You see how they've twisted that whole thing around?
Absolutely.
That's calling out evil. Telling people, well, don't do these sins, that makes you a... You're judging people by telling them that they shouldn't do it. That's how far it's
absolutely.
Got.
Absolutely.
You should have no judgment at all.
That's not what the Bible tells us.
The idea of a Christian is that you should just be walking around like some buffoon that just believes inside your head but doesn't have any thoughts about anything that's going on around you. You got your Bible there?
I do. You know, you can, if you look in, because the Bible doesn't say don't to judge. It says, as you judge, you will be judged.
It tells you to judge with righteousness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And we're told in Corinthians to judge yourselves rightly. And that's what we do. But it is our job and responsibility to, when we see a brother, you know, in sin, we're told to, and we're told how to go about that. But if we don't read our Bible.
I'm not getting to where, like, you should just go up and just, oh, look at the first
right.
when he's doing
right.
Wow, like,
but even know, even Amos tells us to hate evil and to love good. And Ecclesiastes, of course, tells us there's a time to hate. You know, it was Sunday a week ago, I got to bring a little half-hour message on that very thing, that, hey, I'm a lover and a hater, because it truly is two sides of the same coin. And, you know, if you love what's right, you have to hate what's wrong. If you love your family, and this, I think, is, you know, we learned it from the pastor, it's nothing new, but if people will think, it's part of that overcoming the spell, is that if you love, say you love your family, well, you have to hate anyone that would wish them harm.
To your feeling, actually, with everybody. I mean, they think that loving somebody means that you should turn a blind eye to what the person is doing wrong, that's love.
No, and that's hate.
Say, well, hey,
that's
you know,
hate.
Like, you should stop smoking, that's gonna give you cancer. That if you told somebody that's hate. But no,
yep.
but you know, the reality of it is that it's the exact opposite.
And,
you know,
right.
You should be telling them, hey, don't be doing
it.
Right. No, I'm not talking about this from a godly perspective, but just as an example of a physical thing that actually happens, you know. But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 for a second.
I kind of think I know where you're going with this, but that's right. It's good to read the word. 1 Corinthians 5.
Okay. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Oh, I thought you're supposed to just accept this.
No, not at all.
In their face right here, because they haven't mourned that the guy should be removed from their presence.
Right.
Okay, and then what does he say here next? For I verily, as absent in body, the present in spirit, have judged already.
Yep.
He's
have already judged
there.
Him.
He's not even there. You say, hey, I'm way over here, and I, you know, I've heard what's happening, and I'm making a judgment about this. I'm judging this from way over here because this is so bad that what's going on. He's using the word judged. He's not
sure.
Just saying, oh, I thought.
Sure.
All right.
And see, there
I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. And then what do you go on here to say next? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and in my spirit, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. All right? So what he just told you here, do you understand what he said? In that last sentence? To deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. Now, that can go either one of two ways. And even in the early church, there was two different beliefs in this. Some people believe Paul told them that guy should just be, that they should all get together and just remove the guy. But there was also people in the early church that said Paul was telling the congregation to put the guy to death. To take him out, put him to death. And when they're talking about that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, they're not this passage isn't talking about that guy's spirit that was doing the wrong. They're talking about the spirit that was in the church, that the spirit of right should still be maintained in the church. Then he goes on to say, your glorying is not good. See not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Well, all right, well, he's telling you, obviously, you can't leave this guy in there because it's going to corrupt the whole church with this type of thinking.
Sure.
And then you drop down, you know, you can go down to 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is a brother, that is called a brother, be a fornicator, a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Tells you that if you've got people within your fold of
and that's the whole thing. That's right, and that's the whole thing is that if
don't even eat with the person.
Right, if you have people in your congregation, in your fellowship, that we're not to do that, and he's rebuking them. Absolutely right. Doesn't mean, and again, the people that have a misunderstanding of this say, well, Jesus went and ate with those that were filthy. He went and ate with the tax collectors and the prostitutes.
Well, you would have to convert them.
Right, but that's
course.
Not what it's talking
but
about
this
here.
Is a whole different situation.
Right,
these are
right.
people that are supposed to be
right.
Christians here.
Verse 12 says.
They're calling themselves Christians, your brothers
right.
in Christ.
Absolutely.
That are secretly sinning, or maybe even not secretly sinning, and you're just accepting, they're a Christian, so it's okay.
Sure.
You know, but.
And it can't be. It's even a verse 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. And many people don't understand that. And what that means is we don't become we don't accept sin. You know, I've got a current event here that I was gonna get to. I don't know if I'll have time tonight or not, but you know, Pennsylvania priests been reported, and even the church itself, the Catholic Church, even their own reports, and so it's not just an accusation that the church's own archives. Layout, it says here, a painfully detailed case against hundreds of priests who abused and raped some 1,000 children over 70 years. And so it's been allowed to operate. And I think that this applies to just what you're saying.
Going on
it has. It has. This is just this report
in fact,
of it.
I'm not so certain. You know, you see, if you go back to into the very earliest church writings, nobody was ever forbidden to bishop or anyone else within the church hierarchy was ever forbidden to marry.
No,
I gotta really wonder that you know, Paul said it would be better if you didn't, because you could be putting more of your attention towards your walk with Christ. But no one was ever forbidden. All these guys had wives.
Right.
I mean, But at any rate, you got to really wonder whether this didn't creep into the church just because it was a bunch of faggots and pedophiles that were looking to create a safe harbor for themselves.
Yeah, it's evident. But again, the people are under a spell. They see this, you know, and even in this article here, the guy that wrote the article, I don't see his name here. Nolte says, as a conservative Catholic, I joined the church in 08, believing the sex scandal had been exonerated, eradicated. I've gone out of my way not to beat up Pope Francis, even though I believe he's wrong about a lot of things. I admired the Catholic Church for this and that, for the intellectual diversity within. See, they're still under a spell. They're still under a spell. Now, certainly this doesn't mean that all Catholics are bad, but, you know, when you have this, the word itself,
well,
just what we read,
many Catholics
just what we
have certain principles better than a lot of Protestants.
Sure they
but,
do.
But the church itself, the people
it,
that are
absolutely,
running the church.
It, absolutely. It's filth. It is just what 1 Corinthians 5 talks about, the heading of immorality rebuked, that you don't allow this stuff. You get rid of them to the point of delivering such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. To the point of death, you get rid of them. You don't allow it in. Because this is what it leads to. It leads to, so now what about these 1,000 children? Probably 10,000. What about them? What about their families? Or the suicides and the destruction of their lives? Because they are these filthy, faggot, worthy of death, Catholic pedophile priests that need to be taken out. And they are creatures created to be destroyed. They have a depraved mind that are worthy of death. And they certainly, they need to be asked, do you repent? If you can repent, repent. And then they pull the lever and they're strung up and hung, or the millstone is tied around their neck and they're thrown into the depths of the ocean. Certainly give them an opportunity to repent. And then let God's justice be done. And then it's eradicated from the land. And that spell, God let that spell that is over the people that allow this stuff, that allow these filthy pedophile priests to continue to abuse and to do these horrible things. Let that spell be broken. Let that spell. That's why we put this out. Come hell or high water, come what may. You can call me a hater. I hate it when these filthy faggot Pope Francis priests do this to children. I hate that because I love my neighbors myself. I fulfill the law of Christ, as the word says, because that's what I'm called to do as a follower of Jesus Christ. I fulfill the law, as the word says, by sharing the concerns of my neighbor, by loving my neighbor as myself. And as God is my witness, I don't want this happening to my children or my neighbors. And so, you know, as Mr. Hoskins puts it, wolves eat sheep. It's what they do. You can relocate them, and they're still going to eat sheep. It's what the wolves do. All you can do is kill the wolves if you want to keep the sheep healthy. Got a neighbor up the road. Pastor did a sermon years ago on him. Well, not too long ago, but a few years ago, a few years before he passed away. And it was, he shoots dogs, and it's on our neighbor Pat, because Pat shoots dogs. If a dog got loose and got into his yard, because the dogs would run the lambs and the sheep and kill them that Pat was raising, and Pat loved his lambs and sheep. He had raised them up for his grandkids and his great-grandchildren, and if a dog came on the property, he'd shoot it. Your fault for coming on the property, because he loved the sheep. And if we love the sheep, we hate the wolves. And let me tell you, and not just you, Bob, but you know this is to the remnant. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but remnant and world, I love the sheep. And I love the little sheep, the little children, and I hate with an utmost hatred. I hate with every ounce of energy I have in my body the wolves that would dare harm our sheep and our children. I hate them with the utmost hatred. I hate them as David hated Goliath. Do I not hate those that hate thee, O Lord? Because these filthy perverts hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. Just like we read, they disguise it with their lips. But they hate.
But you know,
they
even
hate.
Beyond
what
they do to the children,
them.
It goes further yet than that. Because,
oh, sure it does.
Because have you caught on to the... look at what an example that, you know, when you've got all these priests and cardinals, bishops, whatever all is involved in this stuff, these are the people that are supposed to be their spiritual leaders. Now, when they see the spiritual leaders within their church doing this, what does that do for these people's belief in their faith?
It destroys it.
These are supposed to be the hierarchy of our church, and look at this, what they do. You know, can I be expected to be any better than that when that's a bishop? Can I be expected to be better? Well, look at what damage this does to
absolutely
the thought processes.
Absolutely it does. It's filth. It's filth.
And can anybody ever attain to anything right, or are we all just going to be...
Again, that's where it comes back to, you have to read your word. You have to read your word. You have to realize that these filthy faggots in the Catholic Church are no more godly than a rock. They're less godly than that. I'm looking out my window and seeing our barn cat walk across the... And the barn cat, she knows her place. She catches the mice, keeps them off the place. She does what she was designed to do. Maybe that's what these perverts are doing. And I guess it is, because they are creatures of instinct, created to be destroyed. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. They are the Antichrist, as outlined in the Bible. That's why we encourage you to read your Bible, folks. Read your Bible, and you will see these things. Well, Bob, we're almost out of time. Hey, thanks for the call, brother.
Bye.
All right. Oh, do I not hate those that hate thee, O Lord? And I do. Because I love the sheep. I love the sheep, so I hate the wolves. I love what is right according to the Word of God, because that is the only right there is. And if I love what's right, I have to hate what's wrong. I have to. You know, when we see a brother or a sister or a family member, whatever it may be, doing wrong, and we know that these decisions that they're making, these actions that they're doing, are going to be detrimental. You know, we hate not them, but what they're doing. We hate what they're doing when they're doing these things that we know are going to be detrimental to them, when we know that that they're displeasing to God. And it's not that we hate them. So it's not quite the, you know, it is hate the sin. But, you know, there are some things that God's justice still needs to be wrought. It is as simple as that. Now, thank God we have grace and we have mercy. We have a loving God that does not give us what we deserve. Praise God for that. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And I think that's called what? Mercy? But then he also gives us what we don't deserve. I think that's called grace. And we come back to his son, Jesus Christ, that went and died on the cross. Yes, Jesus Christ, not some Yahweh name. Nope, that's not it. That's not the name prayers are answered in. But Jesus Christ is. And we come back to that, the foundation. He who was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and is with us today and indwells in his people. Praise God. And we continue to put out that good news, but we have to be aware that there are those that hate us. We have to be aware that Satan roars around like a lion, roaming around, seeking whom he can pounce on and destroy and whisper lies into their ears. And the way to prevent that, the way to guard yourself from that, is to be armored up, is to have this Word of God, to have it to where you can say, nope, get thee behind me, Satan. That's not of God. To be trained and to recognize that thought that you might have, or that word whispered in your ear, or that action from people around you. Hey, is it life and life abundant? Is it part of that abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give you and me? Is that thought leading, or that action leading to that abundant life? Or is it stealing, killing, and destroying? Stealing maybe your joy, killing your happiness, killing your zest for life. Is it destroying your marriage, or your finances, or whatever it may be? We have to recognize, and we get that recognition from reading, from praying for others. We have to be able to recognize these things, folks. And we hope that you do, and you get that from reading the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. You want to find truth? Got an email today. Oh, yeah, look at this. It's from Truth News. It's like, I got truth right here. Right here in the Word. I've got truth. And that's the truth I need. And that's the truth you need. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. We're almost out of time here. I want to encourage you to come back. Hey, we thank you for being here tonight. Come back. We'll replay this broadcast a few times. We've kind of changed the schedule up a little bit. And you can see when we're going to do all that at sfawbn.com. That's our network website, sfawbn.com. We have the complete broadcasting schedule there. You can go back for months and see what played when if you'd like to order a CD. Our address, if you'd like to order that CD, or I'll ask you to support us. That's how we pay the bills. We don't sell water filters or anything like that. No gimmicks. We need your support. And if you'd like to support us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. That's here in the United States. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. Come back Saturday morning. We'll have the phone lines open again. We'll be gathered around the Radio Ranch microphone for Coffee with the Wranglers. That'll be at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central and 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 6 o'clock for you West Coast, for you West Coasters. So thanks again for joining us. And I'd like to go out with a Carl Klang song because I can feel that it's coming. I can. I hope you can too.
Read his word. Heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold. Just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. Fire will flash as lightning shines from east to west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai.